Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
A little over a year ago in Geneva, I told the nations of the world that gay rights are human rights, and human rights are gay rights, and that the United States would be a leader in defending those rights.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton introducing a nearly six-minute announcement that she made via video, where she expressed in no uncertain terms her support for not just gay rights internationally, but for same-sex marriage here in the United States. Of course, the Supreme Court is taking up two decisions that might bear upon the issue of federal same-sex marriage, and it seems that everyone who can be brought alongside in support of same-sex marriage is being brought alongside. And the latest high-profile figure is Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State, joining us to get a reaction to the many things that the Secretary had to say in the course of that announcement. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Are you surprised at all that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton would announce this?
Oh, I don't think anyone with an IQ in double digits should be the slightest bit surprised by Hillary Clinton saying this. I mean, the whole lot of them have been in favor of it all along, and it's just, as you said in your intro, the question is, why are they all announcing it right now? And I think that your answer is quite to the point. I mean, I think they're doing a full court press here in Washington, D.C., to make Anthony Kennedy feel like he's the last guy left standing. And I think it's a pretty calculated, deliberate strategy to make it look like there is this great groundswell and rush of opinion in favor of the redefinition of marriage. So the fact that she is saying that she favors it, that fact doesn't surprise me at all. It's just the timing that I think is newsworthy.
What did you think of what we just heard her say, that in her time as Secretary of State, she made this a feature of her approach to other countries?
Well, I think some of us knew that already, that she had made these kinds of issues a priority. And those of us who are concerned about religious liberty, wish there had been a little more attention to religious liberty around the world rather than gay rights. So, I think it's interesting that not only are they doing it, but they're now doing it out and proud, you might say, that this is a foreign policy priority, not simply a domestic policy priority.
Well, in that vein, here she is again talking about, again, during her time as Secretary of State, how she encouraged the State Department, both here and abroad, to actively fight laws here and abroad that she considered discriminatory.
That's what was in my mind as I engaged in some pretty tough conversations with foreign leaders who did not accept that human rights apply to everyone, gay and straight. When I directed our diplomats around the world to combat repressive laws and reach out to the brave activists fighting on the front lines. And when I changed State Department policy to ensure that our LGBT families are treated more fairly.
What's your reaction there, Jennifer?
The statement is so broad, I'm not sure what to react to, Todd. I'm not sure what she's saying. So I prefer not to go into too much detail because, there are repressive laws around the world that we probably should be, speaking out against, things that allow violence against gay people and so on and so forth. Of course, we should be against that. So I'm not sure what all she is covering under that umbrella. And so I'd prefer not to say too much about it until I know.
Well,
but what I will say is about her policies with respect to the State Department. Don't forget how long ago it was, but it was about 2 years ago that the State Department floated a proposal to remove the word mother and father on passports. That was her doing, right? And so the words mother and father have to be eliminated in order to, quote-unquote, accommodate alternative family forms where people don't have a mother and a father. It's more realistic. It's more getting with the times to have more, you know, to have generic parenthood. That is part of what she thinks is part of gay rights, you know. And so that is, of course, completely objectionable. Fortunately, the public basically hooted that down and thought it was ridiculous and it didn't go anywhere. But there's no doubt that that's where this train is headed if we don't continue to resist.
Here again is former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking out about how LGBT people deserve the same rights as all American citizens.
LGBT Americans are our colleagues, our teachers, our soldiers, our friends, our loved ones. And they are full and equal citizens and deserve the rights of citizenship. That includes marriage. That's why I support marriage for lesbian and gay couples.
What's your response?
Well, she is assuming the very thing that has to be proven. LGBT people, in fact, have all civil rights in this country. They have the right to vote, own property, make contracts. They have all civil rights, right? The question is the right to marry, quote-unquote, the person of your choice, a civil right of the same sort as all of those other things? That is the strategy of the left, Todd, has been simply to assume the very thing that needs to be proven and argued for. And, of course, we argue that it's not the same sort of a right. And the case law that they pull out to prove that there's such a that it's a civil right in the same way. Actually, if you look closely at those cases, they support the view of marriage that is really a procreative and a conjugal view of marriage, and not the soulmate view of marriage, which is what the whole LGBT movement is promoting. So, you know, this kind of sleight of hand that they do of smuggling in something that is illegitimate, along with things that are obviously everybody agrees are legitimate, that kind of smuggling of things is a very important part of their rhetorical strategy, and I hope that your listeners are paying attention to it so that they're not swept away by that type of rhetoric.
Marriage, after all, is a fundamental building block of our society, a great joy and, yes, a great responsibility. A few years ago, Bill and I celebrated as our own daughter married the love of her life, and I wish every parent that same joy. To deny the opportunity to any of our daughters and sons solely on the basis of who they are and who they love is to deny them the chance to live up to their own God-given potential.
She waxes a bit metaphysical or maybe even theological there. How do you respond?
The most maternal thing I've ever heard Hillary Clinton say. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. Remember when she was yelling at us about baking cookies? You mean I should have stayed home and baked cookies? Oh my goodness, this is you're hurting my head here, Todd. You know, look, what she's saying there is that they should be equal on their wedding day. That gays and lesbians should be equal to straight people on their wedding day. And you can actually kind of pull that off. On their wedding day, you can make them all equal. But after the wedding, when you're living with a marriage, you're talking about treating a potentially procreative union exactly the same way as an intrinsically non-procreative union, and they simply can't be treated the same way. So I want to ask her this question. Doesn't every child have a right to know who their parents are? Doesn't every child have a right to be in a relationship with both of their biological parents? By what right does the government come between a child and a perfectly fit, non-offending biological parent? By what right do they establish legal institutions that separate children from one of their parents? And let's face it, in order for a gay couple to have a child, somebody has to give them one or give them part of one. That's what has to happen. Gay couples cannot procreate on their own. And so the fundamental, essential public purpose of marriage is being undermined so that Hillary can wax poetic about the inessential private purpose of marriage, which is the stars in your eyes that you have when you see your daughter walk down the aisle in a white dress. That's the inessential part. The essential part is attaching mothers and fathers to their children and to one another. And the whole, all of this rhetoric, Todd, is designed to keep people from thinking about the fact that the end, with respect to the essential public purpose of marriage, gays and lesbians, in fact, are different. A same-sex couple is different with respect to the essential public purpose of marriage than an opposite-sex couple is. And when things are different, when people are different, it is not discrimination to treat different people differently. And in this case, the difference is essential. And that's the basis of the whole thing. Many things are going to have to change in order to accommodate their view of marriage as a genderless institution. And that's what they refuse to talk about. That's what they refuse to admit. And all of this stuff, you know, this is fluff. This is fluff that they're throwing in your face so that you don't think too closely or look too closely at what they're actually doing.
With only about a minute here before we take a break, and we'll hear a little bit more on the other side, is that why in 6 minutes of this video I did not hear Hillary Clinton mention the bearing or raising of children?
Absolutely, absolutely. They do not want to call too much attention to that, except they'll bring their children into the hearing room when they're having hearings on whether to redefine marriage at the state level. They're bringing their children. They're essentially bringing them in as props, you know, for everybody to look at and think, oh, isn't that a nice child? Their mommy should get married. But they're not thinking about the fact of where did that child come from and why should the state participate in the separation of children from their parents? Why should they do that? And nobody has an answer to that question that adds up to anything.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with her, and we'll get her response to one more argument made by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton when she announced her support for same-sex marriage. She says it's essentially a civil rights issue. We'll see what Jennifer has to say about that on the other side of the break. After a few minutes discussing that, we'll turn to the issue of demons. Pastor Jared Melius will be our guest. Stay tuned. More Issues Etc. straight ahead.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference, hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute about Hillary Clinton's support for same-sex marriage. Jennifer, before we hear this last cut, I take it that so far, and this is kind of how she's been building her argument so far, she's talking about how she considers it basic human rights, how she considers it to be part of people living up to their, in her words, God-given potential. And in all of this so far, you have said she is assuming what she has yet to prove. Is this pretty typical of the movement that she's speaking for now, at least briefly speaking for?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not only typical of the gay lobby. It's been typical of the feminist movement from the very beginning. You know, sort of making broad statements about men and women being equal, when what they really mean is sameness, and what they really are doing is using their demands for equality to you know, to sort of smash down every difference between men and women that exists anywhere in society, even those that are based in the reality of sex differences built into the human body. You know, so that's a long-standing strategy of the lifestyle left, Todd.
Okay, and speaking of the women's rights movement and the civil rights movement, this is Hillary Clinton's, I think she saved this one for last as her strongest card.
For those of us who lived through the long years of the civil rights and women's rights movements, the speed with which more and more people have come to embrace the dignity and equality of LGBT Americans has been breathtaking and inspiring. We see it all around us every day in major cultural statements and in quiet family moments. But the journey is far from over, and therefore we must keep working to make our country freer and fairer.
What do you make of her equation of the civil rights and the women's rights movement with what she is now endorsing, same-sex marriage?
Well, I think it's notable that an awful lot of African Americans absolutely disagree with that characterization and deeply resent the equation of gay rights with the rights of African Americans. You know, when I was visiting your state, when I was in Illinois a couple of weeks ago, testifying up there in Springfield about this subject, there were quite a few African Americans there who were speaking on our side of the issue, and just very clear that this is not a civil right, that it's a behavioral based thing, and that a person can stop acting in a gay way, but they cannot stop being black. There was a woman who testified who was actually now a Pentecostal black woman preacher, and she had lived as a lesbian for many years, and she testified about this. She said, you know, in the 80s and 90s, I lived with a female partner, and we had children together, and I never had any problems visiting in the hospital. I never had any problems picking the kids up from school and all these kind of things people are complaining about in the 80s and 90s, you know. And then she says, well, look, you know, I stopped being a lesbian, but I can't stop being gay. I can't stop being black. I can't stop being a woman. That's in my DNA. Whether I am gay or not has to do with how I behave and how I think and those kinds of things, and those things can change. So many, many African Americans are deeply offended by this equation with civil rights. And in point of fact, the resistance in Illinois, you know, your very state there, to passing the redefinition of marriage, it's coming from a lot of minority lawmakers on the south side of Chicago who simply are not going to cave. They're telling Mike Madigan, we're not doing it. And that's what we hear. Now I don't know any names. I can't name names, but you know, the fact that they haven't brought it up for a vote means that they don't have the votes, right? And the votes they don't have are a big part of their core Democratic constituency who does not agree that this is anything like the civil rights movement.
Before we let you go, the March for Marriage takes place 1 week from today in D.C. What can you tell us about this event with about a minute?
Well, people should definitely go to it, you know, if you possibly can. If you're on the East Coast, you definitely want to come. If you're not able to come, you should wear a white bow, and you should download some postcards that are godswhitebow.org. We've got a link on the Ruth Institute website, and you can download postcards and send those to the court justices and send those to Congress and so on to show your support for the Marriage March. And there are other events all around the country, and you should, you know, go and look for the one that's closest to you. But if you can't come, this is the White Bow campaign is a good way to be part of it.
Folks, you'll find a link to the March for Marriage, March the 26th in Washington, D.C., and to the website for the Ruth Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Thanks, Jennifer.
You're welcome.